You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:06. Nice to have you here back up north on this Monday morning, September 22nd. Parker Olson producing things in Madison Studio A2. Brittany Merlot is standing by with the forecast. John and Gordy going to join us from Madison A1 in just a sec here as well. But we are marking the final hours of summer here. The autumnal equinox hits during the 1 o'clock hour this afternoon. And so we've been asking, what's so great about fall in Wisconsin? I'm sorry, I need to say that differently. What's so great about fall in Wisconsin? I want you to tell us. Do you have a favorite place where you go to see the best color leaves? Is there a particular Oktoberfest that you like to go to? I think lacrosse is coming up this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. So what makes Wisconsin so great in the fall? Head over to the Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages, or use the Civic Media app and either text us or leave a voice note to let us know all about your favorite things to do in Wisconsin during the fall. So speaking of said equinox and the climate and the weather and all that science stuff, Brittany Merlot is here. And is this what the equinox, is that the day where we're supposed to like stand an egg up and see if it balances and nonsense like that?
What?
I think so. Okay. I've never done it.
Have you never heard of that?
I've heard of it. I've never done it.
Maybe I've heard of it.
Have you?
Because right when the sun's over the equator and the earth is like perfectly balanced and you can actually stand an egg up and it won't wobble like a weeble. Yeah, nobody believes that.
But, I'm going to try it today.
Now we got something to do during the 1 o'clock hour today,
smash.
Right?
Smash.
Like it.
Yeah. 119. So here we go.
you did not lie when you said this could be kind of an icky, unpredictable, spotty system sitting over the state for the weekend. And yeah, true to form. So when do we get this out of here?
Yeah, it's a mess. We've got dense fog that built in. It's still lingering in places and it could stick around till about noon in some spots. So foggy out there. It is dreary. We've got scattered sprinkles up north, more heavier rain down south. We've got a front draped from La Crosse to Sheboygan right now. And actually some strong to severe storms are hitting in towards Baraboo, Portage, and also into Montello as well. And those are continuing in towards Waupun and over east. So as that moves through the state today, I still think that storms are going to be sparking along that front. So expect from La Crosse to Sheboygan, seeing more continuous rain. And then it does ramp up as we go into early this evening and tonight as that front starts to slide south. It is going to sweep towards Madison, Milwaukee area, and continue to linger there through tomorrow. I think up north, we're going to stay dry tomorrow. Those scattered showers and rain stay way far south. You do have a chance in the southern parts to get a few sprinkles still into Wednesday while the rest of the state dries out, warms up, sun comes back. We're actually going to be in the low to mid 70s for a good chunk of this week. But by the time we get to the weekend, it is going to be bright, beautiful, and near 80 degrees once again. So that is good temperatures and sunlight for the fall colors to be changing. And of course, we want the drier weather after such a wet weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Robin Tigerton says that he took pictures of the sunset with fog building in the background for the final summer sunset of 2025. Looking forward to seeing that. And he mentions that Applefest will be in Tigerton this Saturday. So that we're getting to that time of year now where you've got all your Apple Fests and things like that. Where else did I see? I haven't looked at the full list yet, but I know in Bayfield, they have an apple pie and dessert contest this weekend. And then in Pittsville, they have the Splash of Red Cranberry Tours. So we got all kinds of great fall weekend things to do yet here.
There's so much stuff. Always the events, you know, and the farmers markets before they close. And even if you can get off roading on the trails, to see the fall colors in a different light. So gorgeous.
Yes. All right. And Tony says there's loads of fog in Ashland here today. So, you know, again, if that's the case, you know, drive safe and we'll get this burned out and have some nicer weather. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it. All right. Remember, you can sign up for our newsletter at Up North News, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. And there is a new daily newsletter from Civic Media. You can find it over on your, what do they call that thing? The Substack there. Yeah, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Listen to me sounding like an old codger. It's just, I'm just getting set to talk to people of my kind. That would be John and Gordy from WMDX in Madison, who join us as well. You can hear them in the Madison area 6 to 8 or on the Civic Media app. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good morning.
We're pretty good. We only work 2 hours. You work three.
Yeah. Well, there's a time change up here. We have to work 3 hours to get as much done as you guys get done in two.
Well, thank you. I'll use that as an excuse next time.
Yeah, it was that, or I was going to credit your agent for great contract negotiating. But whatever, however it works, it works, and it allows me to get to spend some time with you, which is really nice.
There's some irony in all of this. We were up for the Best of Madison Magazine Award,
Best Radio Team.
Best Radio Team, and we lost out to a radio team that does 1 hour a week. So, you know, we put 5 hours of a lot of research and show prep in, and these guys go in for 1 hour, and they beat us up.
There's a lot to say about some of these, shall we say, elections, basically. Yeah. I mean, I think I was up in volume one for Chippewa Valley Radio. And I thought I had a few more votes than I did, but once I counted me and my mom and Sherry, and the daughters kind of forgot. So I got three votes, which is nice. So over the weekend, I wanted to ask in Madison now, and this goes back, there was a pretty good 30-year run there for Badger football. I mean, if you go back to, when Barry Alvarez first came on the scene, there were some dark times, then things got better. It's a pretty good run. Shall we say football karma for the Badgers is, stop me if you've heard this pun before, a little fickle.
Yeah, I was good. I would say a lot of people are criticizing the Badger coaching right at this point.
I mean, it's, what's it like to be in the shadow of Camp Randall when it's just not as guaranteed good as it used to feel down there?
Well, it's frustrating, I'm sure for the Badger fans, especially. I mean, the big Badger fans,
the alumni, it's more difficult for them at this point.
Followed them for years. Yeah, I'm sure it's very, very frustrating for them.
The kids don't know the history. They don't care. They go to the game just to have fun.
They get spoiled. Yeah,
just a big party.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, speaking of party, as I was trying to look at what was happening down there, I believe over the weekend was the Willie Street Fair.
Yes.
Okay. Willie Street. That's Williamson. That's the full name of the street, right? But they call it Willie Street. Okay.
Yep.
Got it. And I'm not saying you guys like go every year, but that's not a small little craft fair. That's kind of a big deal.
It's a fun eclectic time.
It's very
eclectic. Eclectic describes Willie Street very well. Yes.
It used to be Willie Street was just loaded with hippies, I mean, talking late 60s, early 70s. It's changed over the years. There's still that element. There's a feel over there. There's a lot of very independent shops. Not very many any franchise places or anything like that. It's still kept its charm.
There's a lot of T-shirts on display there, Pat. Worn old T-shirts on display.
But there are a lot of really cool cafes and, book nooks and places like that.
One thing I noticed over the summer is that because the students are in this college town, there are a lot of seniors out there. And I'm thinking, boy, look at all these seniors. What will happen to all the businesses downtown when they're gone, And, they're replaced by students. Now I don't see any seniors. I only see your students. We went down downtown here over the weekend to celebrate our wedding anniversary, and it was a lot of fun, but very young and encouraging, to say the least.
That is good though. When you see that, you don't see the signs of a city or a town that's getting old, because you don't see the young adults coming in there. So that part is refreshing. So if you don't have the Badger team doing well, and if the Packers are going to break your heart as they did yesterday, yes. I suppose Brewers you have the alternative of going to the movies, which I believe is what Gordy did over the weekend.
That's right. Yeah, I went to see Spinal Tap 2 and
The End Continues.
And I gotta say, I thought it was really funny. Really good. Good. And I enjoyed it. You know, it might not have the charm of the first movie, because that was really groundbreaking, kind of a mockumentary, you know, groundbreaking hit. But, you know, now all the guys are older, and it was all about getting old, and we got to do one more show, you know, just go out on a high note. And that was, it was funny from beginning to end.
It's great. It's great commentary on the aging rock and rollers out there. I mean, there are so many of them that stayed in the business and still stayed very relevant with their music. MJ, you know, it's kind of cool.
And I don't want to give away any spoilers. I think they're already out there, but there's some cameos from McCartney and Elton John and, you know, Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood. And
I'm going to guess Bob Dylan was not one of them, because
Bob Dylan did not show
up. He did what was it, Alpine Valley the other day, and once again like his concert in Eau Claire several weeks back, basically he just kind of sits off in the corner of the stage. The stage is bathed in red, you can barely see him. He doesn't talk, he just kind of sings the songs and then goes away, and everybody's like,
oh,
is that it? Yep, that's now it.
I did not see a story on that. That's fascinating.
Yeah. So I did a movie yesterday as well. Sherry put it very, very well, I thought. She's like, look, the Brewers are still doing well. I can't get into the Packer stuff. It's nice out. I don't want to sit for 3 hours and watch a football game. Plus, we could see it because, like, they were driving. We're like, okay, they're going to run out the clock. It's going to be great. There's a movie that's starting. Let's go. It was called A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey, Colin Farrell and Margot Robbie. I'd never heard of it. Seen the previews, the commercials, nothing. Went into it completely blind. Sherry had seen it, wanted to see it, and you know, I'm not against, you know, rom-coms, that's fine. And this was more of a fantasy one. Again, I don't want to do spoilers, so if I just say there's some time travel in it,
oh, that's cool.
It's very it's the kind of thing that you'd see more in like a film festival art thing, but it was very well done. I don't have any bad words to say about it. The story I'm telling about it deals with being in seats with the reclining chairs now. I hope you've been in some of those with the little power recliner, which is nice. Yeah. But it means the legs go up and then the legs go down with the push of a button. Unlike the old theater seats where you always knew what was underneath. Well, at one point I heard a noise and I realized that I dropped my readers because I'm of that age now. And I'm like, oh, the readers fell between the seats. Well, I'll get it after the movie. And so I put the seat all the way out, push the button, I get on my hands and knees, and you realize that with the recliners there now, they don't clean under the seats the way that you could when it was just the seats. Mm-hmm. Are you guys familiar with the term primordial soup?
Oh, yeah.
The ooze from which all life evolved. Yeah. I mean, it was such a collection of dried Coca-Cola and bits of candy and petrified popcorn, and somewhere just out of reach, I could see the readers, but it would have involved getting into that ooze. Yeah. So I'm in the market for some new readers if you've got a place down there. But
so
highly recommend the movies.
So you just left them there?
What theater was
it? I just left them there at that point. I'm like, you can get readers for like a, you know, the buck and a quarter at Walgreens, it seems.
Okay.
We're talking to John and Gordy about ways you can entertain yourself, like a movie. Just watch where you drop your stuff. And we'll continue on this Monday morning live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Wrightlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
tomorrow on the program, kind of our usual Tuesday passel of guests. Hans Brighton Moser will be along. I believe Sheila Everhart as well from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. We will have Cam Stevenson live from Capitol Hill from Courier Newsroom. We will also have Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area talking about Wisconsin politics. But as far as Cam Stevenson goes, now he's got a daily newsletter called Below the Beltway. You can get it through couriernewsroom.com or beltway.news for daily dispatches from the nation's capital via Courier Newsroom's own. And Cam Stevenson will be joining us tomorrow morning on the program. This morning on the program, we are continued to be joined by John and Gordy from WMDX down in Madison. And before the break, we were talking about Johnny at the movies and, yes, you know, giving more of a real live movie review. Like you said, I don't know who the... I don't know directors. I don't know who the gaffer was or the best boy. You know, it's either you liked it or you don't like it, which sounds a lot like John's movie reviews.
Yeah, it was just a regular guy's approach to movies. You like it, you didn't like it. What was good about it? What was bad about it? Just a regular everyday person. Nothing about directors, showrunners, or anything like that. Now, you went to the movie,
A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey.
Yes. And, you know, here's the thing. These two individuals that starred in it are very much in the DC universe. Colin Farrell played Penguin in the TV series on Max. And then he was also Bullseye in Daredevil. And then Margot Robbie, of course, was Harley Quinn from the Suicide Squad. And not just being Barbie, but, you know, a super villain as well. Yes. So,
which I know she's gotten good reviews for that as well.
Yes.
So it's, because I'm not as familiar with those movies, I could see where people would go into there and go, wait a minute, I can't take you seriously because you're a DC, you know, because of your movie character.
Yeah, that's it. But you had a problem, you know, with your glasses and everything, under the seat. I had a problem with somebody putting their food on the seat in the dark theater, and I sat down right in the ketchup. You know,
no.
I had ketchup and tomato sauce all over my pants and shirt. It was just a huge mess. Well, they did give me a couple of tickets to make up for it. So it wasn't that horrible.
Yeah. I mean, come on. People, etiquette. It's about the etiquette. On the text line from Jim in Brookfield, glad to hear Gordy enjoyed Spinal Tap 2. My sister and I laughed from beginning to end with great cameos. So there you go.
Well, one of the things, you know, the Marcus Theater chain, Greg Marcus appeared in a trailer, you know, just before the movie start, and he was with Spinal Tap. He did this bit with Spinal Tap comedians, and they kept taking shots at him, and he was trying to respond to it. And it's very entertaining. He did two versions of that. I didn't see the second version, but I'd be interested in seeing that just before the movie.
If I could just editorialize on one thing about the movies, and look, I know that with every movie, the previews are somewhat tailored to the audience. The previews that they were showing yesterday before this rom-com, I forget if there were three or four of them, but every one of them was like just people being awful or doing awful things to each other. Like there's that new horror flick about the football player. There's another horror flick about these mass murders and somebody who survives a mass murder and something else. And there were only a couple of us in the theater, but I think my expletive might have been a little
a little loud.
Just like, could we have something happy, please? Is anybody making a happy movie right now? And apparently,
well, you'd like Spinal Tap then. It was very funny all the way through. No politics at all in the movie at all. Nothing
That's what I need. That is totally what I need. Break. Because I like it. I like what I do and everything, but I like to take a break. And so Saturday, we went to one of our favorite watering holes. And when we got there, because we're kind of blue plate special people now at our age, there wasn't anybody else in the place. We knew it was going to get busier later on, but it was just us and the owner who was sitting at a bar stool trying to have a piece of pizza. And he has never, like any good bartender, I've never heard him talk about politics ever.
Oh.
But as soon as he saw that it was only us,
He just oh, really? And I'm just expecting to get a break. I've got a beer. Yeah. He just turns and says, I got to tell you something. And he's off to the races. And I'm like, all right, I'm back in work mode. Here we go. Let's talk politics. And we did. And I have no idea, you know, what angle he was going to come from. And the same went for another fellow that came up at a different bar. Apparently I go to a lot of bars and came up and again, introduced himself. And again, he asked me about something about politics. And you know, when you don't know them, you have no idea which way this thing's going to go.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you get it, not just about politics, but just about the show. Like, hey, you're those guys, aren't you? And then you're about to go, okay, here it comes.
Here we go.
We start walking backwards.
Back away slowly.
Comes with the territory. And then they go, oh, I really like what you do. Or I really like what you stand for or whatever. And then suddenly it's a whole different conversation. Like, hey, what's your name? And everything else. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, that's the nice part of it. But
did it work out for you with the bartender?
Yes. Oh, yes, it did. Yeah. Well, it worked out in the sense that, you know, his frustrations are my frustrations.
Okay,
you know,
good.
With politics. Yeah. So I wasn't really able to escape the politics. And I realized that we in the year 2025 still do not have the right response to how you doing. Because I know you've asked too. You've asked people, how you doing? And it's like,
right.
You know, and you gesture toward the whole world.
Yeah.
So we need a better question to ask, like, you know, how's your health or anything like that? So we're not just asking about the state of the world, you know?
Or how are you surviving?
How are you surviving might work. Or just walk up to somebody and go, say something funny. Make me laugh, whatever case may be. We need that. And that's why people put you on the radio. John Gordy, you can hear him on WMDX in Madison or through the Civic Media app or here on Mondays to help the grouchy old political guy feel better for at least a little while. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Pat.
So much. Have a great start to the week. All right, let's pause here. We'll continue live from the lake. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Getting near the end of the regular season for the Milwaukee Brewers, but thankfully there will be some postseason action as well. But as for the regular season, well, there's a 3-game series starting in San Diego tonight, and then tomorrow night, Wednesday afternoon, a day off on Thursday, then a homestand against the Cincinnati Reds Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then that does it for the regular season. Tonight's game against San Diego, the pregame coverage begins at 8:05. On several Civic Media stations. Head over to the website to learn more. And while you're there, check out again the details on the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, which we'll be doing in the 7 o'clock hour throughout this week and next week, where again, with that Civic Media app, you're going to text in a keyword and that'll get you entered for a big grand prize, tickets to see Green Bay versus Minnesota. It's a Green Bay home game, and you can get more details on the Go for the Green and Gold contest from Jane and Greg, part of Matt and Air on Air, coming up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. The fall session of the legislature is getting going. We talked to State Senator Kelda Royce an hour ago. She's candidate for governor, and we talked about the package of education bills put forward by Democrats, the package of education bills put forward by Republicans. There's not a lot of common ground there. And unfortunately, it seems that even when there is a hint at common ground on something, there usually are some kinds of strings attached. And that appears to be the case with a different package of bills that Republicans are saying they'll introduce this week to deal with our elections, specifically absentee ballot drop boxes. Now, keep in mind that absentee ballot drop boxes were used for years in Wisconsin with no issues and with the support from both parties. Republicans really liked it because in rural areas, places with older populations, it was a matter of convenience. Democrats liked them in urban areas. Again, people who might have had busy schedules or young families. Again, they could drop off their ballots as securely as when you drop your mail off in the mailbox. All right? They're fine. They work.
when Donald Trump knew he was going to lose the 2020 election to Joe Biden, and the documentation is there, months before the election, he started laying the groundwork toward trying to steal the election, or at least to circumvent it or to cast doubt on its integrity. And one of the things that he flailed at was absentee ballot drop boxes. And then in the wake, for reasons I can only log as, quote, a cult of personality, unquote, suddenly so many Republicans didn't like absentee ballot drop boxes either. And there were court challenges, and there were conservative justices who said, yes, these things, it's like we just discovered them, and they're bad, and we have to get rid of them. Well, thanks to voters in Wisconsin, the state Supreme Court was put into progressive hands, and progressive justices looked at that and said, what are we talking about here? They work, they're fine, let them be. Let's turn to another matter, and then I'll bring the two together, and that is the processing of absentee ballots. Again, they're put into these envelopes. If you've ever filled one out, you know that you have to sign it. You have to get a witness to sign it. You have to put the address on there. Again, the ballot is sealed. You just know that there is an absentee ballot in there. And you either use the ballot drop box, or you mail it in, or you bring it back in person, or you fill it out in person at your local clerk's office. And then it goes into a box, goes into a locked box someplace until election day. When they're opened up, you have to check the addresses. You have to check to make sure the signatures are there and they're valid. And then you can open up the envelope. You can pull the ballot out, and then you can process them. Well, there's a lot of places, because they're big cities and there's only so much time and so many people and so many ballot counting machines, that in these larger cities, you have election results that don't come in until late at night. There's a way around that, and that would be to allow the absentee ballot envelopes to be checked the day before, make sure that they're good, toss out the ones that aren't. And that way, right away on election day, you can then just open them up, open up all the good ones, and then you can run the ballots through the machine. That makes sense too, right? Right. So Republicans are now saying they're willing to go along with this. Well, that's nice of them. I mean, for the past couple of election cycles, we've known, Republicans and Democrats alike, that processing the absentee ballot envelopes the day before would be a good thing. And yet Republicans in the legislature have fought against that, have not supported it, for only one reason, and it has nothing to do with security. It enables some of them to continue the talking point, basically the conspiracy theory that, well, if the ballots are taking so long to count and the results are coming in the middle of the night, there must be something shady going on in bad old Milwaukee or Madison or Green Bay or Racine or Kenosha. There must be something that we can't trust there. But they won't, of course, pass the bill that would allow the processing of the absentee ballot envelopes so that you wouldn't have that talking point. Well, now we come to Republicans saying that this week, here comes a new package of election bills, and it would allow for Monday processing of the absentee ballots. Well, thank goodness. And it would allow, for widespread use of absentee ballot drop boxes. Well, yeah, there should be. But of course, here come the strings. And there are definitely strings attached to this, as explained yesterday on Upfront by Republican Representative Scott Krug, who is vice chair of the Assembly Elections Committee. And he said on the program, I think it's fair to say that some of these things, Republicans might not like them and Democrats might not like some of the things. Well, I don't know. There's definitely things for most people to not like in terms of the strings that are attached, because we're now suddenly treating absentee ballot drop boxes like they're Fort Knox, that just waiting to be robbed or something. Because in return for Republicans supporting the Monday processing of absentee ballot envelopes, the bills include security changes for the drop boxes, including 24-hour video surveillance that must be live streamed on a municipality's website. So in other words, these cash-strapped local governments, whether it's a little township or a big city that's already having a tough time meeting expenses because of cuts by the state legislature, would now have to put 24-hour video cameras on the drop boxes and then reconfigure your websites to live stream a picture of a Dropbox, which I'm sorry, you're begging for people to just go to these Dropboxes and put on a little theater presentation because they know they have an audience there. It serves no other role whatsoever. But wait, there's more. The ballots, according to this bill, would also need to be transferred from the Dropbox to a storage facility only under the constant supervision of a law enforcement officer. That's how little respect they have for law enforcement. I mean, you've already got police departments and sheriff's departments that they too are cash strapped. They too have better things to do. And yet the Republicans in the legislature would require that there be an officer or more to go to these drop boxes when these ballots are picked up. So let me ask you this. Are you aware of any mailboxes out there that are live streamed, that have 24-hour video surveillance, and that they're on the U.S. Postal Service website? No, because it doesn't happen. You know why? Because mailboxes are secure, and if you fiddle around with them, if you try to commit some kind of mail fraud or theft, that's a crime. You'll be charged with a crime. The same goes for absentee ballot drop boxes right now. If you monkey around with them, it's a crime. And who's going to take the risk of that to affect what? The 10 ballots that might be inside that box? But we're going to add a law enforcement officer that's got to be there like you're transferring gold bars? These are the strings that are attached in order to get Monday processing of absentee ballot envelopes. Why? Why can't we just have a clean bill? Why can't we ever just have a clean bill, an up or down vote? Are you okay with Monday processing of absentee ballots? If you're not, say so. Say you want to continue the conspiracy theory about late night ballot counting. But don't tie these strings. And then, of course, when they get voted down because they're ridiculous, they then get the talking point of, oh, the Democrats, they voted no on it. The Democrats voted no on election security. Yeah, they voted no on armed guards. I mean, why didn't you just ask for an armored car to be there to carry the ballots in as well? Maybe a full police motorcade. But always the strings and always the talking point, rather than just doing what is best and most efficient for our elections. And so my hope is, and my expectation is, that if these bills actually make it to the floor, and frankly in the committee process as well, the Democrats will put up amendments that would strip out the ridiculousness, maybe even find some other kind of middle ground, whatever it may be, whether it's strengthening the penalties that already exist for monkeying with absentee ballot drop boxes or something else. But get us to the point where we can do the Monday processing. Have some more respect for your local clerks. Have some more respect for your local law enforcement. And stop making them engage in all of this performative politics so that you can continue talking points rather than having elections that just do what they already do here. They are safe. They are fair. They are efficient. And in the ways that they could be made better, just make them better and stop screwing around with them. Oh, but speaking of screws, how's that for a transition? The headline from the New York Times: Trump's tariffs are damaging America's biggest foreign source of screws. Taiwan has long been a top provider of screws to the United States, but the factories are struggling to survive because of Trump's tariffs on steel and aluminum. Most people know Taiwan as making all the semiconductors and other electronics. It's a lot of intricate work. But then there's that everyday, essential, almost invisible component of everyday objects, writes the New York Times, screws. But Taiwan screw makers are wondering how their businesses will survive over the next few months. And to what degree will China gain ground in the meantime? Because again, it's not like this is going to be creating American jobs. We're not opening up some kind of new markets for American screw makers. Okay. These are tiny things that are best made overseas more cost effectively, but now they won't be. Along with everything else that is more expensive, now think of the things that require lots and lots of screws. At Courier Newsroom, we've had a video series for a time. I'm not sure if the person still does it or not, but this would be a perfect episode for it, talking about the things that you don't normally see in politics but are working against you, the ways that you're being nickel and dimed. Instead, the name of the series is You're Probably Getting Screwed. And in this case, it is quite literal. So again, a story in the New York Times, one of the many ways that a made-up trade war is hurting rather than helping our economy. Some final news and notes from Lake Wissota and a preview of Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, Jane Matinair is here. Matinair on Air coming up next across the Civic Media Radio Network. And Jane's going through some stuff.
And we are literally going through things.
Literally going through things, which we're going to get to in just a minute. But first, we've got to talk about what's coming up because you got candidates today.
We do. We are going to be talking to Jocasta Zamarripa, who is an alder person in the city of Milwaukee, and she is running for Secretary of State. So Jocasta is going to be joining us after the 9:30 news. And then in hour number two, she's been a guest many times on our show, a former daycare provider in northern Wisconsin. Corrine Hendrickson is going to be joining us. She, of course, had to close her childcare facility.
Yes,
after struggling for so many years trying to hang on. And now she's running for office. And I am thrilled to talk to her about this. Mm-hmm. She's had some pretty interesting things she shared with us when she's talked to some of our lawmakers and their opinion, let's say, on who should be providing childcare and what they should get paid for.
Yes. I think they did everything but say little lady.
Yes. But, oh, sweetie, if you just stay home and take care of all your neighbor's kids, we wouldn't have this problem.
We first noticed Corrine when she testified before a congressional committee, and she said it was a somewhat spur of the moment thing when she was going to be in D.C. Somebody knew about it, said, you know, hey, come talk to this committee about it. And it was so heartfelt and said so well. And she'd become basically the leading advocate for childcare in Wisconsin over these past couple of years.
Yes.
That I'm not surprised her frustration would lead her to this point to run for a seat in the state Senate, because you get so tired of watching this legislature just ignore big problems.
Well, and I can't imagine the frustration when you do actually get faced, you know, the rare opportunity when you do get to sit down face to face with some of these lawmakers and they essentially just listen and nod and go, yeah, bye, see ya.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, so you do that enough times, it's like, yeah, I think maybe I could do a better job.
And she is hoping to do that with Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. Although there will be a primary, she is one of three Democrats running in the Senate 17th Senate District, and she'll be talking to Jane about that just over an hour from now. But as far as going through some stuff, because Jane and I are both thinking about, you know, at some point we're going to have to clean out our respective residences, which
downsize a little bit,
or at least lighten the load when apparently you get enough silver upstairs and there's a critical mass and enough gray hair triggers the neurons that say, we got to get rid of some of the stuff.
Yep.
And that's what you're doing right now.
Yep. That's where we are right now. So that's what I did over the weekend. We have, and I'm prep. This is just an indication of how old we are, but we still have a big cabinet full of CDs.
Yep.
Which
same.
We haven't played. I play CDs every Christmas as background music, you know, and they rotate on the CD player and things.
Yes.
But other than that, I haven't listened to any of these CDs in probably 15, 20 years.
Exactly.
And so I went through those, and why I'm hanging on to still probably 100 of them is a question that will last throughout time.
You're not going to believe this. So we've got the CDs, we've got DVDs, but we did finally get rid of the VHS tapes. I mean, we just don't. And I got rid of the cassette tapes. You know, there's a handful of them for that might have news stories from back in the day or whatever.
Right.
But the music ones, and I used to have a whole bunch of blank ones, and they went away. The 11-year-old grandson, last time he came to visit, was asking if we had any, because
cassettes
recorders were what they were like teaching the kids to. It was like some kind of OG way to do something with technology and recording yourself. I think it's like a step before you can teach. Here's how a computer operates. It's
sure.
Here's the technology that got us there. And he thought for sure I'd have some cassettes to give him to take back to school, and I didn't have any.
Oh, rats.
It's like, let's make a deal, you know, when Monty Hall would come over Wayne Brady does it today. I'll give you so much if you've got, you know, a cassette tape in your purse.
In your purse, right.
I don't have a cassette tape anymore.
Oh, that's a shame. I have some old air checks he can have.
No, those are going in a museum someplace.
Oh, yeah.
Like the rest of us, you know?
Yes, exactly.
We're just museum pieces. And so, yeah, I'm getting close to that stage now. And are you familiar with, you know, there's all these different declutter, you know, people at the workplace,
Joy Kondo and whatever.
Yes.
I don't do that, no.
And one of them has a theory called touch it once. In other words, if you get, like, say, here's a piece of mail, and I have not opened it yet, and it's sitting over here, and at some point I'm going to move it over here, and at some point I'm going, you know, I'll get to that pile later, I'm going to move it over here.
Yes.
And the theory is, if you've touched it, deal with it, get it out of the way. I'm not very good at that, but it does set up the name of what I'm going to be doing with my stuff when it's time to go through there. I've got something called touch it one more time, because there are things down there, again, dating back to childhood and college and early career. And you always, they're like a little comforting thing to have around, like, oh, look at this, honey. This is when we were dating. Here's the
That's
first
sweet.
You know, card you got me. And it's like, we don't need that anymore. So
we've been together a long time, honey. Yeah.
Yep. We're going to touch this. We're going to touch this record one more time, or my Boy Scout handbook. Why do I still have my Boy Scout handbook? I don't know.
Because you remembered all of it anyway, Pat.
Yes,
you don't need to that handbook.
Right,
it's part of your life.
It's part of the technology, like a cassette recorder. That's how useful it is. So yeah, I've said as we get closer to that phase, it's like, touch it one more time. Say, yep, I will miss it. And get it out of there, and don't make your daughters or anybody else have to do that for you. Otherwise, they're just going to put it all in a dumpster and light it on fire.
Seriously, I'm just glad to know that I'm not the only one who does that with paperwork. I have at least four piles before it even makes it into my office. And then it gets divided into more piles, which is the shred pile and the file pile. And then I don't even know what I'm going to do with this pile.
So many piles.
So many piles.
Many a time I've just said, my to-do list just says the pile. And
the
I know
pile.
What I mean. Go take the pile down. Thank you, Jane. Have a great show.
You too.
You will hear Jane coming up from 9 to 11 weekdays, along with Greg Bach for Matinair on Air. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for starting your Monday here with us. We'll see you bright and early Tuesday morning, 6 a.m. Thank you. Up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.